With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Drew Yari Show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It is Monday. I know it's a pretty odd day, but decided to do a special Monday show. Hey, what's going on, Ruben? And, this is a, as you can see in the title, a Backlash review show. I don't know if you guys, did you guys watch Backlash? It was actually a pretty good show. Like, it was, surprisingly a very good pay-per-view last night, or premium live event, as, they want us to call it. I don't know, usually you didn't pass out like usual. Yeah, it was mercifully a little bit shorter. I mean, would have been nice if it maybe ended like maybe 30 minutes. Just so, I don't know. A boy likes a dream. But only six matches. It ended at 10 for me. If you guys live out east, that's, you know, 11 for you. If you're in, what is it, Pacific time, that's like what? Like 8, 9. I don't know. I'm bad with that shit. But yeah. How you guys doing? How was your weekend? If you guys didn't watch Backlash, like, what'd you guys do this weekend? Still got a cough, by the way. My weekend was pretty good. I can't complain. I was off. Not Wednesday. It was off Thursday through Sunday. I mean, I already have weekends off in general because of my new schedule. I asked for Thursday and Friday off. Thursday, we went to go see Doctor Strange. And then we saw it again on Saturday because the tickets I got were for IMAX and they were at 7, so, and I get out at 6:30. So I just said, fuck it, I'll just ask for Thursday off. And then if we want to go, you know, the next day, I'll just ask for Friday off. Which we didn't go the next day, we went on Saturday, but, and, I guess, just do a quick review of Doctor Strange. I mean, I won't spoil anything, but I liked it. I mean, I saw it twice, so obviously I liked it a lot, but then again, I mean, my bar is very low. Like, it doesn't really take a lot to satisfy me. You know, I like the Marvel movies. Like, I they have my money. Whether it's the TV shows or the movies. I mean, good Marvel. Let me specify good Marvel. the Marvel that we like. The other Marvel, like Sony or, you know, Fox. Well, I mean, 20th Century Fox isn't even a thing anymore. But, like, whatever Sony's doing with their Marvel universe, like, I don't really enjoy those Marvels. If it's, like, Into the Spider-Verse, I enjoy it. But other than that, Morbius was bad. And I don't need to get too much into that, but I really don't want to talk about Morbius. Other than that, it was just a bad movie. But, yeah, Doctor Strange is really fucking good. Sam Raimi directs it, and if you guys remember Sam Raimi, he didn't just do Spider-Man. He did horror movies. He's a horror guy. He did movies. He did Evil Dead, Army of Darkness. Drag Me to Hell. There you go. There was another movie that he did. Did he do another horror movie besides that? So I was looking at his IMDb. Either way, like the guy has a horror movie past. And Darkman, I think was more of like sci-fi, but yeah, I'll take Darkman. But like, you look in Sam Raimi's movie, you look at the Spider-Man movies that he did, and there was always a touch of horror in those movies. Like the first movie, I was 12 years old when I saw the first movie. The scenes with the goblin just appearing out of nowhere would scare me. Ruben's saying it was a fun movie, not 10 out of 10. Yeah, Ruben's palette is a little bit different than mine. Like, again, it didn't take much to satisfy me. I love the movie. It's okay if people didn't love it as much as me. But again, the bar for me is very low. But and then Spider-Man 2, the scene with, you know, Doc Ock in the on the operating table when he just starts, well, he didn't start going crazy, but his arms start flailing around like killing everybody. Like that's horror. Like this movie was Sam Raimi on steroids. Like that's actually John Draper's quote. This movie is Sam Raimi on steroids. Sam Raimi with a budget. I mean, he's always had a budget, but like, you know, Marvel Studios, they got that Disney money, so this is a fun movie. I mean, again, no spoilers. Hopefully you guys didn't run into any spoilers, but I won't give it away. But like, there are of course some cameos that A, we already knew about, and B, we were kind of rumored about. Liz Olson is like, shit. She's really the man, not Becky Lynch. She was fucking awesome in this movie. Like, she was probably the best villain, the best MCU villain in a while. Dare I say she was probably better than Thanos? She was probably better than Killmonger, almost. And thought she was great. I love Liz Olsen. I think she's just beautiful. Beautiful girl. Great actress, by the way. She's been acting for, well, I don't want to say acting, but like her first movie came out 12 years ago. She did a movie, like, let me pull up her Wikipedia. She did a movie that came out in 2010 and that I watched on HBO because it was suggested on like on Ranker of like, you know, the biggest gems on HBO Max. So let me just look it up real quick. It was actually her first movie, or like her first starring role, and she's acting alongside Sarah Paulson. And she's like out acting her. It came out in 2011, I'm sorry. It's called Martha Marcy May Marlene. This is 2011. And me and Liz are I keep calling her Liz like I know her. Me and Elizabeth Olsen are the same age. And she was 22 when she was in this movie. And you watch and you're like, that's her first movie? Like, the movie's pretty fucked up. Like, the premise of the movie, the plot, is that she gets out of this cult. And a lot of the movie is like flashbacks of her in the cult. And she's with her, sister, who's played by Sarah Paulson, American Horror Story. And like, it's a pretty fucked up movie. Like, it's a movie that you're not even sure what you're watching. You're not sure if she's dreaming or if what's happening is real. And, yeah, Old Boy, she got naked in this movie, too, dude. White Chocolate. Yeah, like, full frontal, dude. Like, she said before in an interview that she's not afraid to get to like, you know, show it all. Like, she's comfortable with her body. Like, she's not a stick figure. She's got some curves on her. She's got a nice little booty on her. I mean, now I don't think she can really do that anymore because she's, you know, under Marvel, you know, Disney's, you know, watching eye. But, yeah, Old Boy I watched. She was good in that. I mean, she fucked Thanos, which is it's weird to think about. Yeah, the Old Boy. Everyone always says Old Boy is like the greatest movie ever made. I mean, I haven't watched the original, so it's one of those movies on my watch list. I'll give it a watch. Yeah, Liz Olson, love her. I think she's great. There's another movie that she did. It was a horror movie called Silent House. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that movie. It came out roughly around the same time. It actually came out in 2012, I'm sorry. But, Drew, you know what we need to do. What do we need to do, Ruben? Yeah, Silent House. It's another, like, movie that's kind of a mind... Like, not kind of, but it's a mind fuck. I can't really explain the plot because I'd be kind of giving it away and I couldn't really explain it because again it's kind of a fucked up plot, but that's another good movie that she was in. Went really under the radar. So the thing we do every night, Drew, review things. Well, thank you, Pinky. Dude. Let's definitely review some movies. We need some more movies to review. I mean, that is our show. So we definitely need to add some movies to our repertoire. let's make it Elizabeth Olsen month. Like shit. I would love that. That'd be my favorite month. Sounds like a deal. Yeah, Doctor Strange, good movie. I liked it. I enjoyed it. If you're a Sam Raimi fan, I think you'll love this. Obviously, if you're a Marvel fan, you might enjoy it. You know what? I'm seeing a lot of people, and it's not just Ruben, but like I'm seeing a lot of people that it seems like it's very. It's either that they loved it or they had mixed feelings about it. I don't know if it's because people don't get it. Maybe people don't understand the movie or understand some of the horror. Does Ted Raimi have a cameo? Oh, his brother. No, he doesn't. I'll spoil that for you. No, he doesn't. Because like when we went to go see it again on Saturday, we were leaving and there's this guy who, and he was kind of nice about it. He was just like, oh, what'd you guys think about the movie? I'm like, well, this is our second time seeing it, so we love it. He's like, I honestly didn't like it. It's probably my least favorite of all the Marvel stuff. Like, I don't know, it's just not for me. Oh, that's weird. Like, there's people that didn't like Endgame. I liked Ant-Man and the Wasp. I like the Ant-Man movies, dude. I like them. They're fun. They're fun. I like Paul Rudd. I'm a Paul Rudd fan, like, and I like Michael Pena. I think he's funny, but yeah, I like the Ant-Man movies. They're fun. They're fun movies. there's people that didn't like Endgame. I heard a friend of mine say it was probably my least favorite Marvel movie. No joke. I mean, there's people that didn't like there's people that didn't like Infinity War. There's people that didn't like Black Panther. There's people that didn't like No Way Home. Which is just mind-boggling. Actually, you know what? No Way Home, I think, is the one movie that unanimously everyone liked. Like, even people that I didn't know liked Marvel movies said that they loved it. So, I don't know. But, I liked Endgame and Infinity War. I liked Infinity War more than Endgame. Because I think Infinity War had more stakes. Winter Soldier is probably my favorite. It's hands down my favorite Marvel movie. MCU movie. Like, hands down. Like, I don't give a fuck. I'll say it. If you're going to nominate an MCU movie for an Oscar, I would give it to Winter Soldier. Because you watch it, and it's like you're watching an old school spy thriller. You're not watching an MCU movie. You're not watching an Avengers movie. Infinity War is because Thanos beat everyone. Look, well, it wasn't like that for me, but like I was watching it, and I remember at the end of the movie when like everything was happening, and then it gets to the credits and it says Thanos will return, and I just yelled "Fuck Thanos!" like really fucking loud. We had kids in our theater on Saturday, so I don't know how they felt. Like, I wasn't hearing any kids cry. So, you know. But. In Infinity War. Doctor Strange 2 is pretty fun. Dope movie, my go to movie to watch. But yeah, that's one of my go to movies. The Marvel ones, Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War. I think No Way Home has become one of my newer go-to movies to watch. The first Iron Man, Ragnarok, the first Ant-Man. Let's see. And I'll say Black Panther. Those are my go-to MCU movies. As far as non-MCU movies, let's talk about non-MCU movies, go-to movies to watch. RoboCop 87. Here's a horror movie. Here's one of my favorite horror movies. Insidious. The first Insidious. That's one of my favorite horror movies. I love it. The Thing, John Carpenter, great movie. The Thing, I'm going to say, is my favorite horror movie of all time. I love horror movies where the idea is let's take people and put them in an isolated area and let's just fuck with them. Oh, and also you're not sure who to trust. That's it. Coming to America. That's another go-to movie. Just watched it the other day for the first time in a while. Another movie I can quote, Superbad. How do you feel now, Mike? Alright, CM Hucking Goof, I have a question to ask you. I don't want to offend you. But are you Michael Corvin? I mean, I'm pretty sure you're Michael Corvin, because I think I heard Soup say that. That you're really Michael Corvin. But I just always had an inkling that you're Michael Corvin. You also go by Michael Smith, right? Okay. What else did I do? I threw out my back last Thursday. So, I was feeding our pets. That's all I did. And I was just filling up our dog's water bowl. And I barely just bent over, and all of a sudden it feels like somebody just kicked me in the back. And I'm just like, okay, I'm either getting old, which I'm really not that old, I'm just 32, but if I feel old, and also I'm just insanely out of shape, laughably out of shape. And me and Ruben did this show where we were talking about staying in shape and being healthy. And guess who stayed committed to that notion? I'll give you guys maybe 5 seconds to figure that out. It was not true. Yeah, Ruben stayed committed to health. I'm trying to get there, guys. I'm trying to. I'd be lying if I say it's hard, but it's just it's on you. It's always going to be on you. That if you want to, stay committed or not. Some days are harder than others. Yeah, they are. It's one of those things of just you want to try and find time out of the day, but my new schedule, and I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses. I'm really not, but it's just, my new schedule, I work 10 to 6:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, so it's just okay, do I want to use these, you know, exercising days for the weekend? Can I do it for after work? Do I have time after work? So it's one of those things where I want to, or I'm going to get there eventually. I will get there. Not eventually, I will get there. But yeah, I threw out my back on Thursday, and it's fine now. I mean, I rub some lotion that's, you know, good for aches and pains. I took some ibuprofen. I did. Yeah, I took some ibuprofen. I took like a shit ton of ibuprofen. So my back's alright. I mean, I still feel a little bit of pain. I mean, it also doesn't help that I...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I work in an office, so I'm either sitting down or... I mean, I'm sitting down a lot or standing up. I'm halfway through a nice, greasy burger. Nothing like a nice, greasy burger. I do love a nice, greasy burger. So the back's fine. Mother's Day. So... didn't do anything on Mother's Day, unfortunately. I was going to take my mom out, but she just said, hey, the restaurants are going to be crazy packed, so let's just do something next week. And I called her. I just said, you know, Happy Mother's Day, talked to her for a bit. And so I'm going to be seeing my mom on Saturday. So it's always fun hanging out with my mom. I love my mom. She's cool. My mom's cool as hell. And then I just did some yard work on Sunday. And then, of course, watch the pay-per-view. And, I mean, that's really about it. I mean, what'd you guys do on Mother's Day? How'd you guys enjoy your Mother's Day, by the way? Enough about me. Let's talk about you. Went to see Doctor Strange. All right. It's fun. White Chocolate saying you forgot what he did. I'm drinking water, by the way. I'm drinking water and looking at your questions. I probably watched the Conan Barbarian. There's a Conan the Barbarian remake? I know there's the one with Jason Momoa. I walked 2 miles home and took the bus the rest of the way home. Pretty fun. All right. I mean, I'm glad everyone had a good day. You guys sound like you had a... what matters is that you guys did something. I mean, we all at least did something. We enjoyed the day. And yeah, plus we're alive. That's always important. White Chocolate, you're right. As long as we're alive and we're doing great, we're eating great. We got a nice little bed to sleep in. We got some nice food to eat. The TV's on. It also helps that we have somebody right next to us. You know. And at the end of the day, I want everybody to live forever. I want everybody to live until they're 100. So. But at the end of the day, it helps that we're alive. Okay, Alexa Bliss just came back. I know it's like a really odd segue. Sonya is going to be wrestling Alexa. And Sonya is pretending that she's worried about Alexa. Well, then again, I have the show on mute, so I don't know what's happening. Anyways, again, sorry, that was an odd segue. Alright. So, should we get into pay-per-view review? Let's get into pay-per-view review. This is going to be a very short show tonight, from the way it seems. And then, like I said, we can probably do some rapid-fire questions later. Alright, so Backlash was last night. It was at the Dunkin' Donuts Center in Providence, Rhode Island. Pretty good crowd last night. Like, the crowd seemed to be really into almost everything on the show. Almost everything. Let me preface it by saying almost anything. No pre-shows. They're just six matches. Nothing went over 30 minutes. So let's talk about the matches. So the first match of the night, you got Cody Rhodes versus Seth freaking Rollins. In a singles match, the match was 20 minutes and 45 seconds. Cody coming out to a monster pop. People digging Cody. No boos. This match I liked. I just didn't like the ending. The ending of the match was, and I hate to skip ahead, but like the end of the match was Cody and Seth trading schoolboy pins. And Seth, you know, was trying to, you know, grab the trunks to get the win. And Cody ends up pulling the trunks to get the win, which I'm just like, I don't like that. I really don't like that. Because Cody's whole thing is, you know, I'm not going to cheat to win. I'm going to win fair and square. I'm going to do things by the book. And just the idea of, like, of baby faces, of, you know, white meat baby faces doing heelish tactics. I'm not a fan of. Unless it leads to something. I mean, this is obviously going to lead to another match between Cody and Seth, which the next pay-per-view is going to be Hell in a Cell. So I'm assuming they're going to wrestle in a Hell in a Cell match. But this is a good match. I enjoyed it. I would say, actually, you know what? I don't even think this is the match of the night, but it was a really good match. Not as good as their Mania match, but this is a very good match. Just hated the ending. I know Cody's wrestling tonight. He's going to be wrestling Austin Theory for the U.S. title, which he's not going to win, by the way. Seth is more than likely going to come out and fuck with the match because he's pissed off about how he lost last night. So, and they're not going to take that title off of Austin, you know, anytime soon. So, next match, you had Omos versus Bobby Lashley in a singles match. The match was 8 minutes and 50 seconds. The crowd was really not into this match. Hence, you know, notice when I said almost anything. They were into almost everything. I mean, it was better than their Mania match. I mean, that's for sure. But almost, to me, is just not a very good giant. Like, I don't know what's missing with them, but it's just like, I find it very odd when you have a company full of wrestlers that, again, I don't know how WWE works. I don't know if they give you a free membership to the Peacock, but let's just say that they do. Like, how are these wrestlers not watching Peacock when it's like thousands and millions of hours of like WWE owned content? It's like almost should be watching old, you know, the Big Show and Andre and, well, not Taker, because Taker was a big guy, but he wasn't really a big guy. Like, he wasn't a giant. Like, you know, Big Show, Giant, Big Show, who else? Andre the Giant, and fuck, I'll say Kevin Nash. Which is surprising to say, but Kevin Nash actually trained Omos. And, like, was Kevin Nash the most polished wrestler? No, not really. But he didn't need to be. Kevin Nash didn't need to be the guy that does, you know, suicide, you know, tope suicidos or whatever the fuck they're called. Like, he needed to be the giant. He needed to be the killer. And, I mean, he had good matches. He had good matches with Shawn. He had good matches with, you know, Taker and Bret Hart. I mean, he was capable of having a good match. So, again, I don't know why Omos is not trying to watch guys like those that knows how to work and know how to work like a giant. So, and I like Omos. I want him to get better, but he just he has a lot of work to do. And I'm looking, you know, on Raw, it looks like they're continuing the feud. I'm gonna guess that Hell in a Cell, there's gonna be a lot of Hell in a Cell matches. Like, if they're gonna continue this tradition with fucking gimmick pay-per-views, like, just go all the way. Like, just make all the matches gimmick matches. Make Hell in a Cell, every match is a fucking Hell in a Cell match. Fuck it. Like, what was the TNA pay-per-view? Was it Hard Justice? No, was it Lockdown? Soft Justice. Yeah, it was Lockdown. And then like, every match was in a cage. And then, like, the big match usually was like a 5-on-5, you know, 4-on-4 match. And, you know, when everybody got into the ring, that's when you had Lethal Lockdown. So, you know, do that. I mean, don't do that, but, like, do that idea. Just fuck it. Make every match a Hell in a Cell match. So. Let's move on to the next match. You have Edge versus AJ Styles. Probably the shortest Edge match to date. Like, I don't know if maybe someone talked to Edge and just said, dude, you don't need to go out there and have a 30-minute barn burner. Like, this is not the pay-per-view for that. It's Backlash. Just go home in, like, 16 minutes. And this match was 16 minutes and 25 seconds. And it was one of the... It was close to being one of the least longest... or one of the shortest matches of the night. Which is crazy to think about because it's an Edge match. But, I gotta say, match wasn't terrible, but it's just... Something is not clicking with these two. Edge and AJ Styles. I forgot who said it. I think it was... who said it? It was Matt Kuhn. Matt Kuhn on Twitter. Where he said, you know, Edge and AJ Styles are like peanut butter and mayonnaise. I like both of them, just not together. Like, that was... Oh shit, Drew, am I letting Ruben in? What are you talking about? Ruben, are you trying to get in? Rube. If not, then disregard. I'm sorry. I think Ruben's at work. If I'm not mistaken. But Ruben with the run-in. Yeah, Ruben's at work. So. I don't worry about it, White Chocolate. AJ and Edge just don't really seem to have good chemistry. Which is weird because you would think this... A match like this in, like, 2007 or 2008... Ruben, I think White Chocolate, like, accidentally, like, clicked for you to come in. Hold on, my girl just messaged me. Okay. I mean, Ruben, if you want to come in for a bit, you know, by all means. I can let you in, just let me know when you need to head out. So, alright. Alright, let me let Ruben in. Yo. Ruben. Ah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, excellent.
So how's work, buddy?
Chaotic as normal, but, you know, that's a Monday for you.
Sounds about right. So did you watch the pay-per-view from last night?
Well, of course.
Alright, so let me just go back on the matches. So, I mean, so far we only got through three. So, what'd you think about the opener, Cody and Seth?
Oh, match of the night, for sure. That match was, for an opener, it was pretty damn good. Just for the fact that there was actual Scientology.
Uh-huh.
Like, which is a breath of fresh air. And, you know, Seth was, he was complaining, whining, oh, I wasn't prepared, like, Miss McMahon brought you in as a surprise, blah, blah, blah. But he was prepared, and that made all the difference. Like, that made the match feel fresh. So, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, too. I just didn't like the ending. Like, I don't know. I don't like matches where it's, like, you know, fast pace, you know, hard-hitting action, and, oh, win with a roll-up. You know what I mean? Like, if it's like a heel tactic, then I think that would make a little bit more sense. But I don't know. I don't like the idea of Cody using heel tactics to win if he's supposed to be this like white meat babyface that, you know, follows the rules and goes by the book. Or I don't know. I enjoyed the match. Just didn't like the ending. I'm pretty sure they're gonna have like, you know, the big, you know, rubber match at the next pay per view, which is gonna be Hell in a Cell.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Just be like, okay, with the finish, I was like, yeah, like that seems to be WWE's, you know, MO. Like they'll have a good match, they'll put on a good match when they feel like it, but then they don't know how to get to the finish. Like they do all this grandiose stuff, and then when it comes to the finish, oh, this roll up, like. I feel like I'm back in the 90s. I had so many damn fool roll-ups.
I kind of despise roll-ups. But like I said, it's like if it's like a heel tactic, then that makes sense. But, you know, whatever. The second match was Omos and Bobby Lashley. What'd you think about that match?
Awful. I love the way JD makes fun of Omos when he does his reviews, because... Yeah, like, I was doing that the whole time. I knew that it was going to have him go over, Omos. I knew it was going to have him go over. And I was like, oh, Lord. Like, this was the match that just stunk up the joint. Everything else was fine. Madcap and Happy Corbin.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. But for now... This match here stunk up the joint. Like, we had a really good opener, shitty finish, and then we went from a shitty finish of a good match to just a shitty match with a person that, I'm sorry, his ceiling is already, like, he already, you know, broke the ceiling. Like, he can't do anything else. And it sucks what they've been doing to Bobby Lashley. Like, yeah, he had the title, but the world title, but to me, I'm just like, Bobby has been like one of the few good things about Monday Night Raw, and to just go about just, you know, just demoting him, like, we need more people up, you know, on the top, and just sacrificing, I don't want to say sacrifice, it's like a little too dramatic, but I think more so, like, they're just wasting Bobby Lashley with Omos. I'm just, like, everyone agrees Omos is terrible. He was cool in the beginning, but then, yeah, just terrible.
Yeah, he's a guy I wanted to give a chance, but, like, yeah, he's, for a big guy, he's not very good. And it's just, like, I mentioned before, Kevin Nash trained him. And, you know, when you're talking about big men, Kevin Nash is right up there. And it's just like, how does Omos not, you know, learn from that? How does Omos not watch, you know, old tapes of Kevin Nash or Diesel, Big Show, you know, Andre? So, I don't know. Like, he's a guy I would like if he was a better giant, but it's just like, he's not very good. And also, you know, with Lashley... You know, I enjoyed him with MVP, and I like when MVP turned on him, but it's also kind of one of those things of just like, oh, but, you know, now what's Bobby Lashley going to do? Because he can't talk. He can't talk for shit. I mean...
Oh, yeah. He, oh, no. Bobby Lashley cannot talk.
Oh no, like he's gotten a lot better as far as like in ring skills. It's almost weird to think about. He waited until he was 40, like in his 40s, to get a lot better in the ring. But as far as, again, like, he still cannot cut a promo. So yeah, it's gonna suck. It's gonna suck with MVP because, you know, the Hurt Business, MVP, Bobby Lashley, they're the best thing. They're one of the best things about Raw. But yeah, this might have been the, I don't even know if I would say this is the worst match of the night. We'll get to the worst match of the night. But next is, I talked about Edge and AJ Styles. I was almost dumbfounded how this was one of the shortest matches of the night. You know, the whole thing about Edge is, you know, he likes to go out there and have his 30-minute Broadways. But the match wasn't bad. I mean, it was predictable. I called it when I said, you know, I said in my prediction that someone's going to come out, they're going to be a new member of Judgment Day. And it was Rhea Ripley, which I was happy about because I like Rhea Ripley. I want her to get better. I don't want her to be put in these remedial just random ass tag teams. But another thing I mentioned, you know, before I ask you about what you thought about the match was, Edge and AJ, just to me, they aren't clicking, which is weird.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Weird because this is a match that probably that, you know, people have been wanting to see, and I don't know if it's because maybe Edge is a little bit past his prime, and maybe AJ is kind of getting there, which is kind of fucked up to say because, you know, AJ can still go. But do you think this would have been a better match or a better like feud in like 2008, or what do you think?
Oh no, yeah, I can see where you come from with that, you know, with that, because it's just like, I don't know, like I enjoyed the match, but I can see where people are saying with the chemistry issues. Like you can tell certain people, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, like they have good chemistry, like bar none. Like those are, if you can make a list of like list of five like best people you pair out with when they can wrestle one, no matter what, they'll put on a good match. You can put those two on there. But I don't know, it's just sometimes some people just don't click, and also you gotta understand with the age, you know, even though AJ at 40 can still go, that is like much like in his 20s and 30s. But Edge, yeah, like Edge is very limited, so that does hurt the chemistry because he can't do the things he did before, you know, his injury. So this did hurt that chemistry for sure, without a doubt. But it was a short match. I was like, okay, let me just look at my phone for a second. And then I turned around and was over. I'm like, wow. I was expecting the match to be longer. So that was kind of a surprise. But what we already knew with who was going to be in Judgment Day, I was like, oh yeah, like this. And people were saying that, people were saying, oh, this is probably Tommaso. I'm like, do you see that ass? do you see that ass? Like, I mean, I was like, there's no way that's Tommaso. Like, that has to be Rhea. And lo and behold, it was. And yeah, what was your thing?
Well, I was going to say, like, I mean, I saw her pants. Like, because she wears those, like, you know, leather, you know, dark pants with, like, the deals on them. And
yeah,
as soon as I saw, you know, the person in the hoodie, I'm like, that's Rhea. Like, that's Rhea. I mean, again, it's like you said, look at that ass. It's like, you know, the announce team was trying to do the whole, who is he? I'm like, well, if it's not a girl, it's a guy with a really thick ass. But it ended up being Rhea, which, again, I'm happy for Rhea. You know, it's good to see Rhea do something that's actually meaningful, that's actually kind of cool to do. So,
agreed, yeah.
And then she dyed her hair black, which is awesome.
I loved it. For all you that are listening live on the Drew Yari Show, and those who will listen to this after the fact on the podcast, I love goth girls. And I'm sure Drew likes them too.
Oh yeah,
without a doubt.
Like, what was that meme? There's a meme where it showed like cartoon characters as like goth girls or whatever, and it's like, I blame cartoons for my taste in women. It's like, yeah. Like if not goth girls, just like girls who just primarily wear black, who wear black eyeliner and have black hair, and it's just like, that's me and Ruben to a T. We love our goths. We have three more matches to go. Next one was Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair in an I Quit match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. This match delivered. You know, this was a lot better than Mania. I mean, granted, this wasn't really a match. This wasn't a match. This was a, I don't even want to say a gimmick match, but it was a brawl. And this was the best use of these two women. I mean, it might be the best use of Ronda Rousey, because her in the ring is passable, but her whole thing is she's supposed to be the ass kicker. And she played up to her strengths. I mean, the word bitch seemed to be thrown around an awful lot in this match. Like, I can't really think of how many times the word bitch was thrown around in this match, but I like the match. I like the ending. I just like when Charlotte's good at shit talking. I mean, look at her dad. She's very good at shit talking. I like the ending, the spot where she's about to put the chair over Rhonda's leg and she goes, "Happy Mother's Day, Rhonda." And then Rhonda just grabs her and then makes her say, "I quit." So now she's the new SmackDown Women's Champion. After the show, they said, you know, Charlotte suffered an injury. Well, she said, like, she had a broken radius, I believe, which is basically her arm. And this is a way to write Charlotte off of TV, which deservedly so, because Charlotte, along with people like Seth and Roman, and I'm going to say Drew, they're people that have been on TV constantly. And they need time off. So Charlotte's getting some time off. What you think about the match, Ruben?
I enjoyed this match. Like, it was just hard hitting. These two ladies were just beating the crap out of each other, and they also had that little throwback to 2018 when Charlotte just went batshit crazy and just went to town on Ronda with those kendo sticks. Which, I wonder who was their supplier. there's a supply chain shortage with a lot of wood and lumber, and they still managed to get a lot of hardware in. So I wonder if they got like a secret supplier that we don't know about, because there's an awful lot of Kindle sticks I've been seeing like this past year so far alone. Like, I've been seeing a lot of Kindle sticks, so they got a budget.
Oh yeah, they have that budget and they spend it wisely. Which, I mean, honestly, I'd choose kendo sticks over thumbtacks. Like, I'm sick of thumbtacks. Like, you turn on AEW and their idea of having edgy hardcore matches, just like, we need thumbtacks. It's just like, it's like, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Like, some things can be overused and overplayed too much. So I'm in that vein, yeah. Like, stop it. Like, we don't need to be doing the same thing over and over again to get a pop. Like, but yeah, that's another conversation for the day for sure. Because I can rant on both companies, and people are gonna have hurt feelings, but. But besides all that, the match was... I enjoyed the match. Like, the ending, I loved the ending. And just the word bitch was thrown around so much, like you were saying.
I don't know if you and me talked about it. It's like I said, you know, the joke I made about WWE, their idea of being edgy is calling someone a bitch. It's like, you know, you're not that good of a wrestler. It's like, oh yeah, well, you're a bitch. Oh, or
that is, you're exactly right. Like that's like their whole thing. Like to be edgy, use the word bitch in WWE. To be edgy in AEW or in other companies, they just go with the craziness, thumbtacks, glass tubes, you know, the fluorescent light bulb tubes, all that stuff, pizza cutter. that's a whole topic for another day, because this is backlash, so
WrestleMania backlash. I think it's stupid to call WrestleMania backlash. I just call it backlash. Next match, Madcap Moss versus Happy Corbin in a singles match. This was 9 minutes and 50 seconds. Easily the worst match of the night. I like Moss. I think Moss has a future take the stupid gimmicks off of him, take the suspenders off of him, stop calling him Madcap, which... I kind of pointed this out, like, in storyline fashion, wouldn't Corbin want to take away the name Madcap? Because isn't, like, in storyline fashion, you know, Baron Corbin brought him in as Madcap Moss, so, like, he would say, you know, you're fired, you're no longer my best buddy or whatever, so you can no longer call yourself Madcap. You're just Moss.
Right.
And, you know, WWE likes their one name, so, I mean, just... call yourself Moss, or, you know, Riddick Moss. Riddick Moss is a fucking cool name. And
yeah, I like Riddick Moss. Yeah, I like the name.
And it's just off-putting for a guy that you see in Moss where the guy is fucking jacked. Like, he has a good look. He looks like a mini Triple H. And he can work. And he has personality, and the crowd seems to dig him, but it's just like, get him away from Baron Corbin as soon as possible. End this feud already. And also, why does he have to keep laughing like a hyena? Like, I don't get that. But, yeah, the crowd didn't care about this match at all. What'd you think?
Two words. Desperate.
Yeah. All right, there we go. All right, so, now we get to the main event, which was formerly going to be for the Unified Tag Titles. They modified it a little bit. It was the Bloodline, Roman Reigns, the Usos versus Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro. This match is 22 minutes and 20 seconds. This was a fun match. Like, I wanted to shit all over this match. I wanted the unification match. And when they changed it, I'm like, no, fuck this match. Like, this is a house show match. I mean, granted, this whole card was a glorified, you know, overdone house show. But this paper, you know, the main event, I was like, no, fuck this. Like, I could see this on SmackDown. But it was a fun match. It did its job. Orton was over as fuck. Like, those people love them some Randy Orton. And it's almost crazy to think about now, because, like, before, the thought of Randy Orton doing anything was like, ugh. Now we gotta see Randy pretend that he wants to be here. But no, we're like, Randy's had a new lease on life. You know, teaming with Riddle is one of the best things we've seen, you know, from Orton, because Orton looks like he's committed. He looks like he wants to be there. He looks like he's happy. He looks like he's having fun. And the crowd sees it, so they love the shit out of him. They're cheering the fuck out of him. Let's see. Joe Numbers pointed this out, and I thought it was interesting. That when did Jey Uso get so damn good? Like, when did he all this? Like, he was good before, whenever he was doing his his thing with Roman. But last night he was just exceptionally, like, really fucking good. So, and of course, you know, Roman. Riddle's good. He's getting there. Drew looks like he's less tense. And what I mean by that is he doesn't seem like he's lost out there. Like, he seems like he's a little bit more, like, comfortable in his role, which is good because I like Drew. I want him to succeed. Match was fine. I would have been fine with the baby faces going over, just so it would have added more to the storyline. Because, you know, on Raw, they just announced that they're going to go through with the unified tag titles. That, you know, RK-Bro is going to go on SmackDown and can try to complete the contract signing with the Usos. So they're going through with the unification match. And it looks like we're going to be getting Roman and Drew pretty soon. But fun match. Did its job. Overall, what'd you think about the match?
Yeah, the match was fun, like, just from start to finish. Yeah, Riddle there just being the you know, the guy to take all the weapons. You know, he was the one that was getting his ass kicked. Jay, like, he's gotten so much better. Like, even, like, before when he was doing stuff with Roman, like, he was elevated to that level. And then now, like, you see, like, he's vastly improved, and I guess just the fact that, you know, hey, he's called main event Jey Uso for, you know, for a reason, you know, like, he's been, Roman helped him, you know, elevated him to that level, and to me, like, that's just a testament, to, you know, and, you know, with the whole thing with Roman, like, yeah, like, they're stuck because they don't know what to do, but for what he's done, like, helping out Jey Uso is one of those things that he's helped do, and helping him, you know, with elevating him. But yeah, McIntyre, he doesn't seem as lost. Like, he seems more fit for the role. He's more comfortable. He's more relaxed. Orton, like, dude, like, I'm an Orton fan. Like, since day one, Orton fan. And to see Randy Orton just have, like, this renaissance, it's just amazing that him being paired up with Riddle, like, someone that's polar opposite. It's one of those beautiful things that you see, like, wow, like, you know, odd couple pairings, and when they work, like, it's gold, like, it's awesome. It's godlike. Whatever words you can, you know, describe, like, it's awesome. And yeah, Roman, when he was like, "Oh no, I'm the shot caller, man. Like, I call the shots." That was the line of the night. Like, it's like, man, like, I'm here just because I felt like it. Like, I don't gotta be. Like, I could just have, you know, my two cousins did his light work, but he did the thing. Everyone at some point got their finishes in. It was chaotic. I loved it. And yeah, the baby faces could have gone over, but, you know, they had, you know, the Bloodline win, which, I mean, I didn't have a problem with them going over, but I can understand. Yeah, for sure, had to have, like, I understand people wanting the baby faces to go over, because this card kind of feels like a house show, but, I mean, it was way better than WrestleMania Night 2, that's for sure. Night 2 was embarrassing. So, everyone here tonight, minus Omos, I'm not blaming Bobby Lashley, it's Omos, and, you know, the Mac Hap and Happy Corbin match, like, those two matches stunk, but the rest of the card was great. Like, this is better than Mania Night 2, for sure.
All right. Did you see the video that Roman posted today?
No. Like, today?
He posted something which I believe might be on his Instagram, but, like, I watched it a little bit earlier. It's, like, it's 3 minutes and 56 seconds. It's basically, like, he stopped doing those for a while, or, like, he'll be working out, and he'll just post a random video of him just talking shit. And, like, I don't know if you have enough time to listen to it.
I have like 5 minutes.
Okay, it's 3 minutes and 56 seconds, so I'm gonna play it right now.
Okay. Gotcha.
I know. just in the main event a few hours ago, and he's already back in the gym. I mean, what you expect, huh? It's God mode. It's God tier. This is what the best of the best do. Right now, Tom Brady's throwing the ball. Michael Jordan's probably still on the court shooting the ball. It's what the best of the best do. Hey, let's put it this way. You can't just go out and pick greatness off the tree. You understand? And you're probably thinking, my God, that match, that six-man main event tag match, good God. It was just filled with future Hall of Famers, just filled with future Hall of Famers. Well, hold up. We have Riddle in there, too, but you know what I'm saying? He's going to learn. He's going to learn. But what do you think was going to happen? Let me tell you this, all right? When it comes to the bloodline, when it counts, you can count on us. I don't care who's in there. You can put Randy Orton with anybody. You can put Drew McIntyre with anybody. Put John Cena in there. Throw The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, The Rock, anybody in the bloodline is going to smash them every single time. That's already. But what's in my brain right now is got your tribal chief in here right now. What if that's the last six-man tag you ever see the bloodline do? I mean, I believe when it comes to TV and it being broadcast for the entire world to see, that's only the second one. And y'all freaking out right now. Don't worry. The tribal chief loves you. I'm not going anywhere. Unless I am, who knows? Anyways, but man, what if that's the last one? Because I mean, look at it. There's so much riding on us. We have all the titles. We're the very best at what we do. I'm the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. I'm the greatest of all time. The Usos, the longest reigning tag team champions in the history of the WWE. The greatest of their generation of the entirety of the business. It goes without being said that everything supports it. But what if that's the last time you see us do what nobody can do? That's the island of relevancy right there, people. It's not a gimmick. This ain't just something we're putting on shirts and selling. No, this is as real as it gets, because anybody that sits at the table, anybody that tries to step up, anybody that's, you know, near us, they automatically become better. You've been seeing this. The proof is in. Whether you like it or not, you love it. And we already know you respect it because you acknowledge it everywhere we go. But think about that. If that's the last one, we already know you're gonna miss us. Because we're the greatest to ever do it. And it's because we're the bloodline. And we're the ones. Yes, sir.
All right. What'd you think?
Ooh, a lot to unpack on there. I mean, there's rumors that, you know, with his contract being up April next year, mm-hmm. that he may not re-sign, and he's going to Hollywood. I mean, listen, that could be the case. That could be the case. I mean, he's destined for greater things. I mean, he's accomplished. What if he stays another 5 years? What else can he do? Like, you have to win like all the titles. Like, he needs to pull a Kurt Angle, and or better yet, like a Bobby Lashley, because Bobby Lashley did that in TNA as well. Well, he won all the titles. They need to give him all the women's titles, the 205 title, bring back the hardcore title, bring back all them titles they have to give him, and have him run WWE for a year. In order for him to restart, they need to have him win every single title. You know, all the NXT titles, all, like, his cousins have to win all the tag team titles from all the brands on WWE. That's the only way that he will stay. And I don't think he's gonna resign. And it's gonna be WWE's in a hot water, just because they haven't built up like a massive amount of stars as it should have been for the past decade. Like, you know, they have a handful, but they're really lacking in the building stars department. And Roman leaves, they're gonna have to say, all right, we gotta do something. We gotta go about building some stars, because like, once he leaves, it's over. It's game over. And I think they're starting to sweat internally. I think they're starting to sweat, but we'll see as the coming months, coming years. Well, that's it. Well, coming months, we'll see. We'll see in a year. This time next year, we'll see how things go. Let's see by Mania next year. Let's see how, you know, around WrestleMania season for next year, we'll see how things go. You see how, based on how he's been booked, if they got someone to take one of the titles from him, we'll see. But I don't know. I think he's leaving. Very cryptic, or else he could be he just be healing it up, playing into the fans. But I don't know. I think he's leaving for sure.
You see, I didn't even know about his contract expiring in April, but I mean, yeah. I kind of agree with you, because it's just like, if he signs back, what else is there left for him to prove? Because the big match that we're leading to is him and Rock at Mania, and when he beats the Rock, it's just like, what else can he do? Like, who else can he beat? He's beaten everybody there is to beat in the company. I mean, currently. I mean, if they want to dust off Steve Austin and have Steve Austin versus Roman, which I doubt it, but as far as like everybody who's actually like physically able to go, he's beaten them all. He's beaten Roman, Orton. I think they kind of already had a match with Lashley a while ago. I mean, he beat Triple H. He beat Taker. Pretty soon he's going to beat The Rock. So it's just like, what else can he do? So it wouldn't surprise me if Roman's looking at Hollywood. And I said this for a while, like, it wouldn't shock me if you found out that, you know, cousin Dwayne is, you know, texting Roman, be like, dude, look at my paycheck, and I didn't have to like sacrifice my body to do that. And also, you know, I think, was it Dwayne gave, I keep calling him Dwayne like I know him, The Rock, you know, gave him a job in one of the, was it Hobbs and Shaw? And this was during when, you know, Roman had to take a leave of absence because of his leukemia. So that's another factor that comes into play. Like, Roman, I don't know how old he is, but he's probably thinking, you know, longevity. I want some stability. I also have kids. I have a wife at home. So I want to still be here. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm getting too like mushy, but it's just like, you know, I want to be able to walk my daughter down the aisle. So I want to look at something maybe a little more cushier, maybe even work like a part-time schedule. Like, I can still wrestle and go to Hollywood at the same time, but Roman looks like a movie star. I mean, he looks like he's meant for Hollywood. He looks like he's meant for DC or Marvel or Star Wars or...
Yeah, absolutely.
Or, you know, other, absolutely. Or like other action TV shows or whatever, but I mean, he can be in season 2 of Reacher. that'd be pretty dope, yeah. But it's just like, you know, whatever Roman decides to do, it's obviously his decision. And, you know, I honestly would love to see Roman in the movies, because I mean, can he act? We'll have to see about that, but hey, only time will tell. CM Goof posted something in the chat about Roman.
I'm sorry, Drew, I gotta go, I gotta get back to work, but it's been fun. It's been fun, guys. Chat, awesome as always. If I'm able to, you know, to be on the show, like when I'm on break or whatever, or when I have, you know, a day off, let me know and I'll come running.
Absolutely. You know, I'm always off weekends, so we can always make something happen on the weekend. But yeah, dude, I appreciate you for coming on, even if it's for just like a little bit.
All right, no problem. Have a good rest of the show. Later, guys.
All right, take care, brother. Goof posted Roman apparently signed a new contract with Les Dates. Again, that wouldn't surprise me because, like, he's been kind of going back and forth where he said, you know, this might be the last time you see me, or my days of being a full-time wrestler might be over pretty soon. So it wouldn't shock me, like, if he ended up staying but just to be a part-timer, because, like, you know, Cena did it. You know, Orton, I can't tell, is I don't know if Orton's really a full-time guy, because he's, I think he said before that he is currently working a part-time schedule, but he's on TV every week. He's doing house shows, so I don't know what he's doing. But yeah, all roads are leading to Roman and Rock at Mania, and then after that, what happens? I mean, it'd be an interesting way to bow out, just to say, you know, I did everything I wanted to do. I dominated with this title. I'm gonna go dominate Hollywood because I'm the fucking tribal chief. Well, he's not gonna say fucking, but you get what I mean. But so that was Backlash. I forgot to ask Ruben his favorite match, but match of the night, I gotta say Cody and Seth. I just didn't like the ending. The main event was pretty fun. It was a fun match. Ronda and Charlotte was a much better match than Mania. Worst match of the night, Madcap Moss and Baron Corbin. Just don't give two fucks about that match, like, at all. So, let me get to the questions. There's only a few of them, but still gonna read them. Still gonna read them. Let's see. Come on, let's get to the questions. So I have two questions. One, first one is by Maurice Bear. He wants to know which Fallout game is considered the best. 3, New Vegas, 4, or 76. Unfortunately, Maurice Bear, I never got into the Fallout games. I played one of them. I'm just forgetting which one it was. So unfortunately, I never got into Fallout, so don't really have an answer to that. Which haunted place in America would you like to stay the night? I mean, in an insane asylum, in an abandoned haunted insane asylum. I mean, obviously, I gotta get paid, because I'm not doing that shit for free. Like, I need to make sure I'm getting compensated if I'm gonna get the shit scared out of me. So, insane asylum, old haunted house, mansion, whatever you want to call it, it's fine with me. And CM Huck and Goof, I only has 2 questions this time. Not his usual 20 questions. Let's see, he asked me earlier, if Cody wins the U.S. title, does that mean he'll have defeated racism twice? I believe so, Goof. I believe so. But he's wrestling Austin Theory, and Austin Theory, as far as I can tell, is a white man. So, this Cody in WWE Cody is a less about racism and social issues than AEW Cody. His last question is, if woodchucks could chuck wood, how angry would lumberjacks be about it? I mean, I'd be pretty fucking angry because they're taking my job. You know? It's like, dude, my job is to cut wood, and you're doing my job for me. Like, dude, that's money down the drain. Like, that's money I need to pay my car and to pay my mortgage. So, I don't know. That's my answer to your question, Goof. I don't know if it, I'm sorry if it wasn't a good enough answer, but that's my answer to your question. But yeah, that was all the questions. If you guys are interested, I have maybe about 5-7 minutes for some rapid fire. You guys want to shoot some questions at me? I'll just sit here and drink my water and watch Raw. Seth just came out and screwed over Cody, which I saw coming, by the way. So, rapid fire. Lay it on me. Nothing's off limits. And Seth just curbs. Seth looking like a matador. Well, really, no questions. All right, that's fine. Like I said, it was going to be a short show tonight. We did about 72 minutes. It was nice for Ruben to join on for, you know, just for a little bit. But yeah, this is a special show. Shout-outs. I mean, again, Ruben, my boy, my friend, my brother, my bearded brother in arms. I can't do it without you. We do a show on Patreon. So check that out. Check out the Patreon, only $5 a month. Check out Ruben's show, the Ruben Prime Podcast. You can find it, I believe, on Spotify. He also has his own website, so look for that. His show is a little bit different than mine. His show usually talks more about, you know, real world issues, less wrestling talk, pop culture. That's pretty good. It's a really good show. I was on it, and I believe he has a. He's going to be up to episode 100. So, congratulations to Ruben. RJ. I did a show with RJ over the weekend for our Patreon. It was 2.5 hours. Some good shit. RJ, at the moment, I don't believe is doing a podcast. Well, his own. But he does have one. He does have one you can find. You can find it on Google Podcasts. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it pretty much anywhere. Another guy on my Patreon is Jeff Lippman. He has a shit ton of shows. He has quite a few shows. He has Hammerlock Hangover, which they just dropped a new one. It's with him and Steve Pena. He has Garden of Doom. He has also Garden Views, which is, I guess, it's like a spinoff of Garden of Doom. It's a pretty good show. Let's see. And again, we do a Patreon show together. So check out the Patreon if you have time. And Wrestling Soup, of course. Wrestling Soup Mesh from Wrestling Soup was nice enough to put me here on the Wrestling Soup channel on Discord. So thank you, Mesh. Thank you, Joe Numbers. And John Draper, of course, another good friend of the show, good friend of mine. He has a podcast. He has a podcast with another friend of the show, Shaheen. It's called Breaking the Apocalypse. You can find it for free anywhere else, but if you want the good shit, you gotta sign up for their Patreon. Just $5 a month. Another guy, former host of the show, but I'm gonna show him some love, B-Show Brian. If you're listening, shout out my friend. Clark Street Wrestling Podcast. You can find their podcast anywhere. Devin the Heel Dude. Good friend of mine, good friend of the show. He invited me on his thread. Yesterday, I was on two threads. I was on his thread for the pay-per-view, and we just talked a little bit, made some new friends. Another thread I was on last night was Wrestling Court with Julian Cannon. I've been on the show. In the last few months, I've been on the show recently. It's just me and him. Julian's a good dude. Love him. And of course, Rob. Love him. Let's see. JD. Not JD from New York, but JD from Russellbred. Cool as hell. Chill person. Lover. And let's see, who else? Kevin Castle. How can I forget about Kevin Castle? Kevin Castle. He's on the DTKC Patreon. He does a show with Trez, another good friend of the show. And he has his own primetime show. It's called Castle and Chicky Podcast Adventures. It's a pretty good show. If you're into pop culture, if you're into movies, if you're into music, if you like old school TV shows, they got you covered. And Andrew Carlick, gotta give a shout out to him. And just shout out to everybody. Shout out to everybody that supports the show, downloads, listens weekly, and people who put in questions. Shout out to you guys. Yeah, that's about it. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to everybody. Love everybody. And I hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys did. Hope you guys enjoy the weekend. And that's all I got to say. So we'll see you guys next week. What day I'll be on next week, we'll see. We'll just have to wait and see. But till then, have a great week. Have a great weekend. Take care, and most of all, peace.